Today at the City of Literature Story Shop, we'll be talking to Laura Gavin. So, Laura, can you tell us a little bit about what inspires you to write?
I usually like to write about the everyday or the familiar, things that people recognise, but I then usually like to introduce sort of a fantastical element or a magical element just to kind of slightly knock people off balance when they read something of mine. So I like a good twist.
And does the piece that you're reading today, is that full of twists and surprises?
It does have one twist at the end, which I don't want to give away, obviously, but it basically starts off about an old lady who's got to the point in her life where she's feeling very lonely. She's lost all her friends and her husband, and all she's got left is her art, her painting. But like I said, I don't want to give away the end. So.
That's fair enough. So shall we hear a little bit from your story?
Sure. The extract I'm going to read is from a short story called Nearly Done. Kelly shouts something inaudible about lunch. I rise out of my seat slowly, feel around for my cane, and start to make my way downstairs. Lucy and I enjoyed our lunches, made a ritual out of them. Something on toast one day, some harebrained salad that she'd made up the next. Always creative she was, always inventive. "How about beetroot, Em?" she said to me once as we combed the supermarket aisles. "I could make a soup." "It's purple, Lucy. I don't know how I feel about purple food." "You ate aubergine the other week," I considered. "Yes, but the flesh inside an aubergine, that's not purple, is it?" Lucy rolled her eyes and bunged them in the trolley. "It's very good for you. I'll make it interesting, I promise." And after we'd eaten, we'd sit by the window at the back, surrounded by cushions, biscuits nicely within reach, and make our coffees last an hour. That's what she did for me when Rowan died. Sat and listened. I know there's not much I can say. I went through it all with David and... Here she leaned over and put her hand on mine. "I'm not saying it's the same, not in any way. I'm just saying you can get through it, and I'll be here to help you." I nodded dumbly. She waited 10 minutes, maybe half an hour before I spoke again. "There's just this hole, Lucy. This gigantic, gaping hole, right there." I glanced next to me on the window seat. He never sat there. His was the tall armchair in the corner. But it's where I always saw him, by my side. Lucy listened to me, over days and weeks and months, as I gradually progressed from constant tears to sad acceptance. Eventually, she'd moved in, and neither of us had even noticed.